Chapter 14, Spies and Traitors at Plymouth. One reason we remember the Pilgrims is because they were such brave and generous men. Mr. Brewster read frequently from the Bible to them in church. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Forgive those that sin against you. Treat kindly those that do you wrong. The Pilgrims believed these commands and tried to live just as God wished them to. People have felt since that they were the kind of men and women whom we were glad to think of as our ancestors. Many of the early comers to America were wicked men, and some of them now came to trouble the Pilgrims. The first of these had been their first friend, Mr. Weston, who procured for them the money to hire the Mayflower and start on their journey. He had quarreled with them just before they sailed and attempted soon after to found a colony of his own. He had sent over men who came and lived at Plymouth. The little colony of men Captain Standish saved from being murdered by the Indians was Weston's. The Pilgrims had therefore done him much good. Now he himself came back, but for fear of his other enemies, he was disguised as a blacksmith. He was very poor, had lost all of his money, and asked them to loan him some so that he might get a new start. They loaned him a good deal of material to trade with the Indians, and soon after that he betrayed them to people who hated them and had told lies about them. Then came men from England to arrest him, and he fled to Plymouth. They again did him good for evil and protected him. About 4 years after they first came, there landed at Plymouth a Mr. John Lyford, a minister, and one John Oldham. They brought with them plans to wreck the colony and destroy the Pilgrim Church. They were spies and traitors and began at once to make trouble. They did what they could to pry into corners, to listen under windows, and to find out something bad. They whispered to the people all sorts of evil things about the governor, Mr. Brewster, Mr. Winslow, and others. They got up secret meetings to protest against the government, at which they made wicked speeches. They wrote letters to England to the merchants so that no more supplies of food or money should be sent to the Pilgrims. You will see how very mean and wicked they were when you learn that all this time they were eating the Pilgrims' food, living in their houses, smiling upon them, and telling them how much they loved them. Treachery and treason are the real names for this kind of wickedness. But Mr. Bradford discovered how evil these men were and learned that they had written letters to England. He went in the ship that took the letters and got the captain to give them to him. When he read them, he saw how bad these men were, and then came back to Plymouth in a small boat. He called a meeting of all the people presently, which caused a great deal of curiosity to know what was to happen. Oldham and Lyford were both there, very bold, smiling, and ready to make trouble. "I think it right," said Mr. Bradford, "that all should know what a few have known for a long time. We have spies and traitors here. There are those who kiss us on one cheek and smite us on the other. They came to us as friends and have eaten our bread and lived in our houses as guests, but they have plotted against us and paid us in ill coin. What have you to say to this, John Oldham, and you, John Lyford?" "It is false," said Lyford, turning very red in the face. "It is a lie," said Oldham. "You are a dirty traitor yourself." "The members of this company will be interested then to hear these letters," said Mr. Bradford calmly. And he read the letters, full of wicked stories about the colony, talking about the various members of the colony in a very sly and evil way. All the men present knew that these letters were false. Lyford was thunderstruck and turned pale. Oldham was not to be beaten so easily. "How now, my master," shouted he. "You denounced this Bradford loudly enough in secret. Have you nothing to say in public? You promised to help me arrest him and his supporters and send him back to England. Come, Let us do it. We are many and they are few. If they will fight, let us up and at them. Captain Standish laid his hand on his long sword, and Allerton and Alden made ready their guns. Mr. Brewster, too, but Bradford stopped them all. "One moment," said he solemnly. "If they have blamed us in private, they shall acknowledge now whether they had good reason. Let all who are gathered here judge who are the honest men, we or these. Let them tell us of their own free will whom they will follow and obey. We will have no slaves here. We are all free men and will so remain. You are all free to choose now. Speak, John Billington. You are a ringleader of this crew." Billington shuffled his feet on the floor and stammered, "I do not understand them. They deceive me. I want no change. I will be loyal." "And you," said Bradford, pointing to another man. "I, too." "And I." "And I." "And I," came from all sides. "Come, come," shouted Oldham excitedly. "Will you desert me thus and put the yoke upon your necks when you can have freedom for the asking? Vote now against him and show yourselves men." But they all turned their backs upon him and refused to listen. "Call your followers," said Bradford quietly. "Call them louder. Perhaps they do not hear you." Oldham began to shout and rage and swear, and then drew a knife. Captain Standish now arrested him and put him in prison under guard, and so the conspiracy failed. They decided that he should be expelled from the colony and forced him to go down to the boat which was to carry him away through two long files of men. As he passed through, each of them hit him a heavy blow with the butt of his musket. Thus they made him run the gauntlet in Indian fashion.